Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dodla Dairy Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Reddy, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning and season's greetings to everyone on the call. On behalf of Dodla Dairy Limited, I extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us on our call today. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on our company's website. In continuation of our exceptional start to the financial year 2025, we are pleased to announce that Dodla has once again delivered a healthy performance, achieving its highest-ever revenue of rupees 998 crores for the second quarter of financial year 2025. We have also witnessed benchmark performance in value-added products, which accounts for 39% of our total revenues during the quarter. The company has declared an interim dividend of rupees 3 per equity share. This is our first-ever dividend since listing. Talking about opportunities, Q2 marks the end of the flush season, and we have built up sufficient inventory to be able to deliver milk throughout the year with consistent quality throughout the rest of the year. The Dodla brand is synonymous with consistent quality and purity and has a very high recall value in South India. Our brand presence is not limited to Tier 1 cities, but also extends to Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities. We continue to invest in various brand-building activities to maintain our brand recall. Now, I would like to take a minute to update you on our recent land acquisition in Maharashtra. On the back of favorable raw material prices, we entered the state about 3 years ago and established a strong procurement footprint. Today, we procure approximately 2 lakh liters of milk per day from this region. Our target is to take this procurement to around 7 lakh liters per day in the next 3 years. With such a large procurement, we foresee a requirement of an integrated manufacturing setup. Towards this, we have acquired 35 acres of land in Maharashtra. We are in the process of finalizing our project plans for an integrated plant. Once these are crystallized, we will communicate it to you. The Indian industry is undergoing a structural shift and buoyancy that we have seen in the recent times, and we will continue to buck the trend. Seasonality is inherent in our business, but broadly, we intend to maintain a healthy mix of VAP in line with the current performance on an annual basis. We expect margins to stay in the same ballpark, and if things improve, we might be able to pass the savings on to our farmers and consumers. With this brief, I will now hand it over to CEO of our company, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. As Mr. Sunil Reddy stated the opening remarks, we witnessed a healthy performance in Q2 2025 on an overall basis. We achieved the highest-ever quarterly and half-yearly revenue along with the stable margins. Due to significant butter and SMP sales in the quarter, we also recorded our highest-ever quarterly VAP sales. Ghee continues to perform well. During the quarter, we were able to procure 17.2 lakh liters of milk average. This was around 16.9 lakh liters of the same period last year. Average milk sales were 11.6 lakh liters per day, an increase of 7.2% on a year-on-year basis. Curd sales grew by 14.7% on a year-on-year basis, 328.8 metric tons, while VAP sales registered growth of 93.5% on a year-on-year basis to reach 378 crores. Sharing a few statistics on the procurement price for India business, our average selling price stood rupees 68.2 per liter during the quarter. This was 57.6 per liter for the same period of the last year. The increase was mainly due to bulk sale of butter and SMP. Our average procurement price was 34.9 per liter during the quarter, and the same period of last year, 39.1 per liter for the same period of the last year. Since we made a price cut in the previous quarter, this time around we have kept our milk prices unchanged and are confident to sustain our robust volume throughout the year. Further, our efficiency in the milk procurement from the farmers continue to help us manage our raw material cost. During the quarter, our Africa business delivered top line of 94 crores, which comprises 9.5% of total sales. Due to delay monsoon, the procurement prices in the geographic increased significantly. Recently, some pressure on the margins. With the onset of monsoon, this has already begun to reverse in this quarter. The EBITDA margin in Africa for the quarter was 5.5. On the other hand, Arga Feed, which is our animal feed business, reported revenue of 32 crores, representing 3.2% of our total sales. In the upcoming quarter, we expect a strong festive demand for the ghee as well as sweets. Further, we will continue to pursue butter SMP sales as a part of our VAP portfolio. Now, I would request our CFO, Mr. Murali, to share the financial highlights of this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. B.K. Reddy, sir, and Sunil, sir, and a very good morning to all the participants on the call. Talking about our quarterly performance in Q2 FY25, the revenue from operations came in at 998 crore versus 768 crore in Q2 FY24. In the quarter, our gross margin stood at 25.5%. There is a compression in GP margin on account of higher procurement cost in Africa. Employee expenses increased by 17% on year-on-year basis. On an absolute basis, this is in line with Q1 FY25. Other expenses, which are semi-variable in nature, increased by 16.1% on year-on-year basis. We reported an EBITDA of 96 crores as against 70 crores during Q2 FY24 with a margin expansion of 50 bits. The net profit for the quarter stood at 63 crore and margin of 6.4% with an improvement of 67 bits. Coming to our performance in H1 FY25, the revenue from operations came in at 1909 crores versus 1591 crores in H1 FY24. We reported an EBITDA of 201 crore as against 131 crore during H1 FY24. The net profit for the year stood at 128 crore and margin of 6.7%. With strong performance in H1 FY25, the company generated 342 crores in cash from operations, solidifying the overall balance sheet position. With this, we conclude the presentation and open the floor for further discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nandita Rajna from Marcellus Investments Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So, sir, congratulations on an exceptional quarter. I mean, it's commendable the kind of operational performance that you keep on yours. So, my question was largely on the inventory side. So, we saw that there was a 150 odd crore drop in the inventory level. Is this seasonal or is it structural? Can we see further inventory dip in the future going forward in FY25 or is it going to rise?
Basically, it is the structural, ma'am. Whatever we had built up as inventory in the previous year is what we are liquidating in the current year. And once I think we are now entering into more of the lean season which comes in, I think we will see a further dip in inventory as we keep going forward.
Okay, so further dip in inventory is expected.
Yes.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, congrats for a really excellent set of quarter this time. Just 2 to 3 questions from my side. One, how do you see the milk procurement prices moving in, let's say, H2 for this year? And again, what is the outlook on the milk prices in FY 2026? That is question one. Secondly, also, how do you see the, in a way, cattle feed prices shaping up? So in a way, because it is the raw material for the farmers, so how do we see that moving forward? And in terms of the, in a way, profitability, is the sector near the peak of the profitability? So how should we think about the profitability going forward? Yeah, that's it from my side.
Okay. Thank you very much, Aniruddha. I think regarding cattle feed, I'll ask DVK to answer whether the prices will go up or not. Broadly speaking, when we look at the procurement prices of the current year of 2025, there will only be marginal increases, and we don't think that it will go up substantially, and status quo will be maintained. Regarding financial year 2026, we will have to wait till the summer of April, May, June comes into play to see if this trend will continue or whether it will not continue. But bringing it in relationship to Dodla, we will continue to be aggressive on our procurement and try to maintain a higher procurement. Regarding profitability, although I would say that we can maintain the status quo very comfortably, we will try to pass on any other benefit for the sake of growth. Broadly speaking, we will be able to maintain this absolute number and growth in the form of the absolute number, whether it is the trade-off between the larger quantities of commodity that we have got or if it is going to be the price increases or the increase that we get from our milk and milk products. Like we have been saying, we will be concentrating on an absolute profitability number increasing in tandem with our historical growth rates. But we will use our reaction to see whether we can manage with our own internal between profitability. Regarding cattle feed prices, I'll ask DVK to have an answer with it.
Yeah, Aniruddha. See, adding to Mr. Sunil's comments on the procurement also, see, the third quarter already 1 month is now, we are very close to first month of third quarter, and still prices are very stable. Slightly, maybe after Diwali, the milk procurement is going to go up for November, December. I don't foresee any challenge in the procurement, and maybe the prices may go up in the fourth quarter, not in third quarter much, number one, that is. Number two, our feed is very stable, and raw material prices are very stable. Now, maize and other prices also now, see, last 1 month I've seen, yesterday also reviewed, prices are very stable. We are expecting the similar growth and the same profitability margin in the Orga feed also.
Okay. Sure, sir. Understood. Now, in terms of last question from my side, there is a good amount of cash on the balance sheet. Now, I understand that the company has been evaluating, in a way, inorganic opportunities, and as and when you are doing acquisitions also, we have seen that. But any immediate plan with that, the excess cash on the balance sheet?
One is, as I've already announced in my talk earlier, we are giving an interim dividend, and we'll try to see if 3 rupees per share. We will also be looking at by end of the year to see if it will be a little more of the dividend which will come in. We will start deploying a bit of the cash now on expansion in Maharashtra that we are doing now, and we will be looking forward for acquisitions as always. I think immediate horizon, I don't think there is anything. We're looking at some which is not panning out, but we will be looking forward for acquisitions too.
Okay. Sure, sir. Understood. This is very helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Congrats on the good set of numbers. My first question is on the entire controversy of Tirupati ghee and the analog paneer which came in Zomato in Delhi. So how widespread is this issue of all this mixing of fats, animal fats in ghee by the other smaller players, for example? And similarly, in terms of paneer, etc., if you could comment how widespread is the analog paneer consumption? I'm sure in the branded space, it will not be there. But is there an opportunity for you to really seize this and do branding exercise and gain market share from some of the local and unorganized players in some of your markets?
Basically, regarding Tirupati, it is very controversial, but from the industry point of view, it is mostly that adulteration we normally foresee comes from oils, not from lard as such. That is what I personally believe. I think even the test reports will avert to that. And regarding analog paneer and other such products, they've always been in the market. It is predominantly between the price versus value. Like we were alluding to, I think as more and more awareness does come in, I think labeling requirements are becoming stringent, FSSAI norms are becoming even more stringent. And we will be actively trying to make customers more aware of what they require. Like, for example, now even there was a bit of a ruckus about A2 milk, where there was a notification given whether it should not be labeled or should be labeled because there was no testing. And again, it was brought back saying there's labeling. But I think all of us are going to be doing our bit in terms of customer awareness, and we are confident that it will help us as we go forward. Because I think with the GDP of India growing and per capita and consumptions also increasing, people will want better quality products. And we think all this is good and favorable in our terms because we will be able to educate the customers more.
Sure. And one follow-up. So in terms of mixing of oil with ghee, again, in terms of the local players, is that a very widespread issue? Because when I see pricing of ghee, the range is quite wide. So we have very premium ghee also, and then we have got all the branded players in a tight range of, say, 10% pricing in terms of range. So how come there is so much of differentiation in pricing, and how widespread is the oil mixing in terms of ghee?
So I think I can categorize it as broadly three categories. So one which would be the super premium ones, which people try to say it is, done by the Bilobao method, I've done this, and those are insignificantly small volumes compared to the overall pie. Although the per unit price will seem high, you'll find ghee at 1,000 rupees, 1,500 rupees a kg. That volume is very small and it's a very niche kind of a market. The much lower prices where I think if like what you're alluding to will be mostly taken into the B2B scenario where people really don't care and they're looking at price. But the larger companies like all of us who are now fighting the battle of B2C and trying to be there, invariably will be along the same lines. It depends on the distances where we are. Some might command a slight bit more premium in terms of, because of the brand that they've established. But broadly speaking, the more organized will be in a similar range when it comes to B2C. You will have the niche players with a very small volume on the top, and that bottom of B2B might be catered to a wide range of people.
Sure. My second question is on the overall category FMCG in terms of consumption. So this time, if you see the results of Nestlé, HUL, Dabur, and others also, and DMart also, there is a slowdown which everyone is pointing towards in terms of the big cities. So if you could tell us in your markets how the big city consumption compares with the rural areas in your market for you.
Our market, we have been seeing growth, sir, because whatever we are selling, the same names like DMart and whatever where we are retailing, also we have seen reasonable uptake and uptake coming in. So we are seeing no slowdown, but the growth to be maintaining the growth trajectories, even in the big city.
So you are not worried because of the very high food inflation, vegetable inflation, you are not seeing any kind of a impact for you?
Yeah, because this year I don't think we have taken much of price increases. In fact, because of on the back of good procurement prices, we have further made it more comfortable for the customers and passed on a bit of the margin profile to the customers. So we don't see much of pressure on our growth.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinamra Hirawat from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So a few questions. Firstly, will there be any impact, from the excess rainfall in South India in October in our Q3 numbers?
Basically, it's a seasonal variant. Depending on how much of impact it will be with the cyclones, maybe we'll lose a couple of days of sales or revenue. But the difference will be very small. It won't be significantly impacting compared on quarter-on-quarter. It will maintain a good quarter and continue to grow. As a seasonal impact of what we had previous, you will find a little bit of a difference, but nothing major. Because now we are spread across all the four or five states, so we don't get impacted with rainfall in one particular area being that much or one being lesser.
Okay, makes sense. So, regarding the VAP, should we expect similar growth in the sale of butter and skim milk powder? And want to know what the margins for these two products are.
So basically, sir, like you said earlier, skim milk powder will not have much of a margin because we will look at it from a seasonality point of view and how we sell it. Regarding ghee, we are again pushing a lot of it going through B2C rather than bulk butter. So between bulk butter and SMP powder that we are selling, we might have a very small margin, which is the reason why you might see a little compression happening between Africa prices and powder and butter in terms of gross margin. But like we always keep saying, we keep in mind the absolute number growth. And keeping that in mind, we keep offloading our butter and ghee and keeping making sure our absolute profitability number increases.
Okay, and just finally, can you divide the sales volumes of liquid milk between India and Africa? I think we have the sales volume numbers, but just wanted it for India and Africa, and can you give it for FY24 as a whole and Q1 and Q2 of FY25?
So basically you're saying you want milk number of Africa and milk number of India for the whole year of FY24 and half yearly of FY25, correct?
Yeah, so the sales volumes, just divided that in India and Africa.
Yeah, so we will just answer that. I will answer, sir. Last year, you know, India was 13.47 lakhs FY24 last year, and Africa was 1,11,000 FY24, and this H1 of 25, so India is 14.13, and whereas in Africa is 1.78.
Sorry, this is procurement or this is sales?
This is only sales.
Sales volumes, right? Liquid milk?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You want procurement number also?
No, the sales is fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maithili Balakrishnan from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, ma'am.
Congrats, sir, on a good set of numbers. Just had a couple of questions. One, could you quantify how much of the value-added products were bulk products this time around?
Yes, ma'am. We will see. Basically, it is only S&P that is there. Murli will give you the specific number of how much the bulk number was.
Out of the 378 crores, just wanted to get a sense of how much is bulk kind of a product.
Yeah. So bulk, madam, for the full half year, we are saying that butter is around 153 crores and S&P is around 48 crores, we are saying. In the full half year, madam.
And for the quarter?
And overall in the Q1, the breakup is like 35 crores in Q1 and 166 crores in Q2. That was the breakup.
Got it. Just wanted to get a sense, right? If we look at the gap between the procurement and the sales, it's still a healthy gap that we have. So we will continue to see these kind of sales as far as the S&P and bulk butter is concerned, right?
Yes, ma'am, we'll continue to
this.
Got it. And in terms of the milk, right, we are seeing now an uptake as far as the volumes are also concerned and coming now at 6%. Is that the trend that you are seeing should continue into the festive and beyond that as well?
October, November, December, we would see a little bit of muting of milk and milk products because of the weather being colder. Products like curd and things do come down a bit, which will be offset by the little by the ghee sales that we are doing. It is more because now we are aggressively pushing brand marketing and we are pushing it a lot more that we are seeing this uptake. I think we will maintain, maybe if not similar growth, but we will maintain growth. We'll maintain some kind of growth in the coming quarters too.
Got it. And my last question was on CAPEX. We have not had a very high CAPEX so far this year. Just wanted to get a sense if there is something that we can expect in the second half, especially with the land acquisition done for the Maharashtra plant.
We will be having a little bit of CAPEX going forward. I think because the Maharashtra plant acquisition land is just begun, we will start doing work, will commence now. And other CAPEXs which we are doing, I think we are on target with whatever we have budgeted for the CAPEX, which is to the extent of...
regular CAPEX, madam, we have spent around 43 crores in the full half year, which is in line with our normal trend. And only Maharashtra, we are out to come up with the proper plan.
Maharashtra, you know, see, we have acquired 35 acres land, and further some more land also we are going to acquire. And by end of this November, we will start civil operations. So the clear picture, you know, the crystal clear, you know, total project cost, you know, we'll give in next quarter. So So some CapEx, we will happen in the third and fourth quarter.
Got it. But the CapEx will happen over just in FY25 only, or will it spread over to FY26 as well?
It will spread over 26 also. Maximum CapEx will happen in 26.
Maximum in 26.
26. 25 to 26 financial year.
Got it. And if you could just give us some points on the Africa business, how is it seen in terms of volume growth, in terms of what are your plans there as far as value add, etc., is concerned?
So Africa has actually done well in terms of volume. BVK will give you the specific numbers. And also profitability on an absolute number basis has maintained growth, although on a percentage basis, it's taken a slight beating because of high milk prices in Kenya when there's a shortage of milk. But we're very confident in the remaining 6 months, Africa will do well for us. It will be doing in terms of good numbers. We would also say that the dividend that we are declaring now is actually coming from our proceeds from Africa, which was in Singapore, which are getting back to India in terms of that, and that is what we're dividending out to our shareholders. BVK will give you more specifics about the growth that we have seen in terms of volume and where we are now.
Yeah, last year, we have done only 111,000 liters, but now, see, H1, we have done almost 178,000. So roughly about 58,000 liters, 60,000 liters growth from Africa. Because since we have commenced new operations from Kenya, that has started only in the month of March this financial year. So that has given around 30,000 liters additional volume. And also existing plant from Uganda, also there's a volume uptake high. So put together, 55,000 to 58,000 liters, the more volume has come from Africa.
And also the product range and milk have been maintaining the same proportion between yogurt, that we are one of the largest sellers of yogurt, and milk that we sell in UHT form, unlike milk.
Got it. But as of now, we are still ramping up Kenya, and the focus is on that. So there is no, there's not much more investment which is going to happen in Africa.
No, more investment, not in the near future. Till we stabilize both Uganda and Kenya, there will not be more investment there. Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers.
Thank you, Madhuma.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jainish Chheda from Spark PWM Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congrats on the good set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. First is that in Q2 FY25, gross margins on a QOQ basis as well as on YOY basis have come down. Of course, you mentioned that Africa was one of the factors, but I suppose Africa contributes roughly 10% of the total revenue, while 90% is still from India. So any particular reason why you didn't pass on the price changes to customers in the current quarter?
So Africa is one thing, sir, because Africa normally it's seasonal and it is in tandem with the season. This year, the season was a little bit lower, and then again, October itself, it's recovered and back to normal. So that is a normal trend that we do, and we don't do it immediately as a pass-on because it's not permanent in nature, and it's only that 1-2 months differential which is going as per sanction. The other reason is also the butter and ghee, the butter and SMP that we have sold. The volume of sale in those is higher, although the margin might be a little smaller in that. Combination of these two is the reason why you see a gross margin drop marginally. But on an absolute number basis, we'll keep growing.
Again. So that's all. If you can, going forward, if it's possible for you to share a segmental breakup in terms of margins as well, in terms of PAP and milk, that will give us a bit more clarity in terms of where the things are moving forward. So that's one big question.
We'll do that in giving the segmental numbers. We'll put it up on the website also.
And second question to do is, where will we peak in terms of our share of value-added products in total revenue, at what percentage? Because it has been going up significantly higher in the last 3 quarters. So where do we see it being stabilized in terms of percentage share of total revenue?
So I think it will be the same current trend what we are maintaining. We'll be in the same trend of what we are seeing as value-added products. I think now this year we're showing it as 39%. We will continue to keep it in those ranges of 39% to 40% is what we think it will be.
Right. So in terms of steady state margins, we can assume it somewhere plus or minus 100 basis points from the current levels?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all my time. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tanish Mehta from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my first question is regarding your Africa business. So for the quarter, EBITDA margins in Africa business were one of the lowest, which is at 9%. So if you could just give the reason for that. Okay, you can ask. And my second question was regarding the inventory levels also. And they have gone up in Africa, and I was wondering whether it is a seasonal thing or do we anticipate a rise in procurement pricing and that's why you're building up inventory?
No, sir. It's basically that, as we said, the seasonality when it came in is why Africa inventory went up a little bit. Because it's between Uganda and Kenya, and when we do cross-border sales, sometimes when we get permission, we try to move more milk from Uganda, and if it is not there, we sell it in Kenya only. So that will be a smaller difference. In terms of profitability, although the prices went a little steeply because of a more shortage, that is why you see that difference, but I think it's corrected instantly once the rains have come, and you'll see that in the current quarter where the movement upward will happen rapidly. Regarding inventory levels of India, I think we will continue to keep bringing them down.
Yeah, yeah. It has reduced already. If you see last March, we are at around 390 crores. Now we are at 231 crores. There is a 147 crores of reduction in the inventory. And whatever we built up in the current 6 months, that also we sold out. So we'll continue like a very aggressive, like a net buyer only, okay? And yeah, that's all.
Okay, thank you. And my second question was regarding the order feed registered at 13% margins in H1. So are these margins sustainable or is it because of higher feed prices which may fall down in the future?
No, it will be sustainable, so plus or minus 100 bits this way, that way, depending on the commodity. But otherwise, because we basically are doing it more as, you know, more efficient now, our bigger plant has come into operation, and I think we can maintain these.
Okay. Okay, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Gang from Sacheti Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, Rishabh, you're audible, Rishabh.
Yeah. So, you know, with respect to the expansion plan in Maharashtra, if you can just share some information on what are the current operations on the distribution front in Maharashtra, as well as any broad game plan for Maharashtra that you have, and by when, like, can we start expecting the distribution to start, increase? And how do you look while assessing where to enter, and what are your return requirements or payback period in mind, like while doing this kind of thing?
Our GVK will give you more definitive answers about the Maharashtra, when we start to do and what is our penetration. Regarding returns, we normally plan returns between 5 to 8 year period is what we look at as getting the return on investment back, whether it is an acquisition, whether we do our own greenfield. That is regarding the return. I think BBK will give you the specifics of when we will start the operation and what we look at as this growth.
Maharashtra, we are already procuring 2 lakh liters of milk every day, and we have been in the operation since 3 years. Now, recently we acquired a land, and by 26 April, we are planning to start commence our operations in Maharashtra. So, maybe, you know, it will take 15-16 months to complete the project. So it is an integrated project, so there we will make milk, curd, and also SMP, butter and ghee.
And what is the land cost?
So for now, see, 35 acres land we have taken for 10 crores, and because, you know, this is a converted land, you know, registration cost, everything, it has added 1 crore. So it has become 11 crores so far now. So further, some more land also we are going to acquire, because now since we are planning to set up a bigger plant, 10 lakh liters, you know, capacity plant, you know. So some adjoining lands also we may acquire.
It is also going to be done in a staged manner. We'll start a stage 1, stage 2. So we're looking at it as a significantly large plant for us.
Also, is there any guidance that you give regarding the revenue and the margins for next 1 or 2 years?
We will maintain the status quo of what we are doing currently. So the 10% by volume and 15% by value is what we keep targeting. And maintaining the profitability also at current levels is what we will be pushing forward for.
on the inventory side, like how much inventory of milk powder do you actually carry at the moment?
So milk powder inventory we are carrying now, I think exact number will be given.
September 24th, sir, SMP we have around 4,200 tons we have.
What a value till now.
And in terms of value?
In terms of value, that would be around...
SMP and butter put together 240 crores is the inventory value.
Around 111 crores.
SMP.
Just a last question. What is any distribution strategy for the value-added products that you have in states where we don't have any procurement function, right? Where we are just selling these VAP like ice cream and all.
We are doing ghee as a major push, which we are now selling across pan-India, which we do a bit in the northern Indian states also. But we will be doing more of the ice cream because it will be in areas where we operate and we concentrate because we have the advantage of having our own cold chain across the states where we operate. We are also pushing more of branding and pushing to the market. So we will see a little bit of uptake in our paneer, our ghee consumer sales, which will add to our growth in value-added products.
All right. Thank you so much, sir, for the insights.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Mathur from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just coming back to the gross margin decline that we saw in the quarter, you shared that one reason was the higher amount of butter and SMP that we sold, where there are margins smaller and volume is higher. So if you, if possible, if you can share, you know, the proportion of butter and SMP in the total VAP sales that we have, and also the indicative margins for these two segments. And also, secondly, if you can share the console procurement, milk procurement cost and console sales realizations for the quarter. That's it. Thanks.
So if I can get the question right, you want to know the console sales volume and price for liquid milk, and you want the breakup of the quantum of fat and SMP that we have sold.
So the total VAP sales is around 401 crores. Out of that, 200 crores is the bulk sale, plus 23 crores is VAP products. So total out of 4,030 crores, 200 crores is this one, okay? And second is, the question is...
The quantity of milk and the consolidated volume of procurement and sale of milk.
Okay, milk procurement consolidated is for the half year, for this quarter is 17.2 for bulk procurement. This and overall last year it is 16.8.
So just needed the console the milk procurement cost and the realizations per liter.
Oh, okay. Procurement consolidated cost for this quarter is 34.64.
And
revenue realization is 66.86 for this quarter, including SMP and butter.
Thank you, sir. And if possible, if you can share the indicative margins for the butter and SMP segments within VAP.
Yes, we'll try to send it to you after the call, sir. Because again, we'll have to bifurcate bulk and consumer and retail, and we'll send that to you.
So, thank you, sir. That's all from me. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and congratulations on good set of numbers. I had two questions. One is on there was a question which someone asked on next 2 years and you said we will try to maintain our profitability at this level. And even in during the beginning of the call, you said we will focus on more on absolute earnings growth. While if I go back to our previous calls, we used to say that our EBITDA margins should remain in that 9 to 10% range. So, is there a change in how you are thinking, or do you also believe that this kind of profitability of 9 to 10% may not sustain in future and that's why focus is more on absolute growth versus maintaining the margins? How are you looking at it?
So basically what we are saying is we will maintain this 9 to 10% margin growth. So for expansion of margin,
Maybe there might be a little corrections here and there in terms of, because the top line might increase even more dramatically if we go into more of a commodity in 1 year of a season. So we will try to maintain the same EBITDA margins, and therefore the absolute number will also continue to grow. Even if there is a slight correction in terms of the EBITDA margin in terms of percentages, the absolute number will continue to be healthy and grow stronger because overall revenue might increase. If the other way around, if it is a little bit of a lesser revenue, you might see the EBITDA percentage increasing. So that EBITDA percentage, not to consider that as a fine number, but more the absolute numbers, is where as a business we take a call in terms of when we have opportunities to grow more rapidly and when we see that the growth is coming in, we rather push more growth and take maybe a slight correction in terms of EBITDA. And if the other way around happens, we push the EBITDA and keep the absolute number the same, or improve the absolute number.
Okay, and second question was on the inventory, and Sunil sir, you had mentioned in previous meetings and calls that we would now focus on building inventories. Now, if I look at our inventory level today, we are back to like 2 years back. So over the next 6 months, we would continue to follow the strategy which we started last year of building inventories during the flush season to move over the weaker season and then probably liquidating, or is there a change in that thought process?
Oh, it's the same thought process. We will be continuing to aggressively keep pushing our procurement and going forward and improving our procurement and keeping the inventory levels. So we might use it to our own, a little bit of more to our manufacturing facilities available with us in terms of conversion to the season. We might be doing a month or two of corrections here and there, but we will overall maintain better inventory position.
No, not only that, you know, see, normally in the fourth quarter, no, there will be no butter movement. Normally, no butter movement, no sales will not happen in the month of January, February, March, April, that particular month. That's why we will see, you know, inventory levels are slightly high. But as you know, in the second quarter, no, when festive season starts, you know, the prices also will be better and the movement also better. That's why, you know, you have seen a lot of offtake in the second quarter.
Okay, but over the next 6 months, there again will be a larger inventory.
We'll be building up.
Okay, and last question. You were also looking at entering the eastern markets. So any developments over there? Like?
That's the reason we'll be pushing Maharashtra, sir. The eastern markets, I think, will be postponing for a while because we are trying to enter and we're not finding suitable opportunities. As and when they come up, we'll go forward to the eastern markets.
Okay, thanks. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaivansh Mehta from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, most of my questions have been answered. Sir, basically you declared a dividend of 3 rupees on interim for in the recent quarter. So will it be like, will we be maintaining the 15% payout in the future, or are we looking at some other investments of cash?
No, we will be trying to maintain this, sir, as a dividend policy going forward. We will keep declaring dividend is what we are looking as our regular feature.
Okay, sir. And sir, secondly, sir, if we like remove the butter and skim milk powder sale, then where has not really grown so much. Are we seeing a slowdown in the value-added sales?
No, so the VAP in terms of absolute number has grown because the overall pie is looking bigger. The percentage might seem smaller, but VAP has also grown for us in terms of the number that it is there. In terms of curd has grown, if you compare last year from 378 crores to almost 400 crores in the current year in terms of what curd has grown.
Okay, and sir, last question was, so can you, like you said, we'll be acquiring more land for the Maharashtra capex. So, are we, what are the total capex that we're looking at Maharashtra? If you can just give a rough number if you have it.
The rough number right now, sir, because we will, between 200 to 250 crores is what we are looking at as an overall project cost, which will be done in stages. We will have more specific numbers by the end of December when we start to move forward.
And sir, lastly, to confirm that we are expecting it to commence from April 26th, right?
April 26th. We're targeting April 26th, or maybe a little earlier, a little later, 1-2 months this year, that way can be the range.
Okay, thank you so much. That's it from our side, and thank you. All the best for you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Natik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congrats on a good set of numbers. My question is, can you give us the mix of, you know, SMP plus butter in the VAP? In VAP, can you give the mix between, say, SMP plus butter and rest of the VAP?
SMP plus butter will be one, and then we will not be concluding G into that because that is B2C that we have. I think Murali will give you the specific.
SMP we have done around 21,000 liters basically. It's around 210 crores. The value is 40 crores we have said, and butter we have around 126 crores. So if you remove this, overall VAPs we have done around 189 crores in the VAP, and fat products around 22, that is almost on 211 crores we have done in the products other than SMP and bulk.
211. And how do you see this going forward? I mean, is the mix going to remain
similar? We have done well. Our paneer, for example, is almost doubled from what we were selling previous year. There's a slight mutation because of ice cream, because of too much of rains and monsoon. Otherwise, it would have been far better. But we are doing well with our curd, consumer ghee, and paneer. All have grown for us.
Okay.
And ghee also, like far said, consumption. Last year we done around 11 crores, now we have done around 21 crores. There is a substantial increase in the ghee consumer sale.
Got it, sir. That's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from GreenEdge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So one, just wanted to understand, you know, with such sharp spikes in your butter SMP sales, so would it be fair to assume that, you know, with this new inventory policy that we have, it would be very normal to see such spikes in butter SMP sales going forward?
You won't see such spikes because this current year is where we have actually moved out from being a net buyer to a net seller. So the years going forward, we will enhance them to be as a proportionate of our growth or whatever we do as overall B2C. Maybe this will contribute the same levels of what we are now. So you won't see spikes, but we will be maintaining more equivalent in terms of profitability because this will help us in maintaining the price stability. Like I've been explaining earlier, if there is a reduction in price of milk, the selling of butter and the powder might seem to be a little lower value, but milk compensates for that in terms of profitability. And the other way around, when there is a shortage of milk and milk prices go up, these will give us more profitability. So this will be evening out as sale. In terms of growth, the spikes will not be there, but as an overall growth, this will also kind of fuel the growth in terms of the percentages because we are adding a whole new segment of growth for us.
Right. And a related question. So, you know, since we don't have the numbers handy for margins of, you know, each of these products, SMP, butter, and, you know, the rest of value-add products handy, if you could, you know, just share that, you know, and just a clarification here. So you mentioned to the previous participant that almost half of the 380 crores of VAP sales came from butter and SMP in this quarter. And also, were there any fat provisions for this quarter that we took?
No provisions made for this quarter. No provisions made, and basically, like, margins is whatever we had done as our March NRV, and that's what we are looking at and selling. And there is no provisions that we are making, and the status quo maintains on profitability.
We are reversing the provisions whatever we made it in the earlier periods. Based on the sales, we are reversing it. So we always mark to market. So there is no change in the mark to market prices over the last 5-6 months. So we are following that conservative approach, we are in line with whatever we have estimated.
So no provisions, and also so zero provisions for this quarter, and also out of 378 crores of VAP revenues for this quarter, how much of that comes from SMP and butter? And again, SMP and butter would essentially be all bulk sales, or would there also be some B2C element there?
Yeah.
In what we call as butter and butter and powder is what skim milk was powder and butter. Murali will give you the specific details. We also sell a portion of the ghee in terms of our consumer retail, which has increased. So specific numbers Murali will give.
Total, madam, for this quarter, we have done around 378 crores of turnover. Out of that, SMP is around 40 and butter is around 126 if you remove it. So we have done around 211 crores of other than bulk sale, B2C.
Which is including ghee, 22 crores.
Yes, includes ghee.
And SMP and butter is all bulk sales, and ghee is all B2C that we do, right?
Yes. So that last year, the same quarter, after removing the business, B2B sale, it is around 195. There is a growth, we have seen it.
Right. And lastly, you know, just on the Africa business, so Kenya specifically, so since you've just started operations in Kenya, just wanted to understand the seasonality. So would in around, let's say, Q2, would it be normal for there to be milk shortage there? And so on an annual basis, would it be fair to assume that Africa margins, you know, will dip in Q2? And so if you could just explain the seasonality in terms of milk in Kenya. And second, since, you know, you've guided for a value growth of 15%, and if we look at this financial year, H1, we've already done a 20% top-line growth. So would you want to revise your top-line growth guidance, at least for the current financial year?
Ma'am, regarding Africa, BVK will give you more specifics. See, this, what we look at as 20% that we have already done and 15% of what we have been committing. So in the dairy industry, the seasonality does play a role of 2-3%, which will be up in 1 year, which will be lower in 1 year. Our guidance that we normally given 15% growth is saying that on an average CAGR growth, is this is what will be maintained. So I think this year will be a good year. Maybe next year might be a little lower year, but we will maintain in the range of the 15% as we grow forward. Regarding Africa, BVK will explain about the seasonality in Kenya and how we are doing it.
Yeah, Kenya especially, you know, for Q1 normally the prices, gross margin will be very high. If you see from Q1 to Q2 this year, especially from 40% to 25%, it has dropped because of that, you know, gross margin is impacting that. Normally, you know, in the Q2, you know, gross margin is less. See, in the last couple of years also we have seen. And this year slightly higher side because of delayed monsoon. So that is the variation. Otherwise, you know, Q3 again it will come back.
Okay, and Q2, what was the gross margin you mentioned? Sorry.
So this financial year, first quarter it was 43%, and second quarter is only 20-25%.
Got it. All right. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Pawar from Vasuki India Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, Deepak.
Congratulations on the good set of numbers. I have two questions. First is, do we procure from cooperatives?
And you are breaking up, Deepak, sir.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So, do we procure milk from cooperatives?
No, we don't procure milk from cooperatives. In India, we don't procure milk from cooperatives. In Africa, we procure at a village level what is called an association of people, not a cooperative.
Okay. And second question would be, sir, that White Revolution 2.0, would there be any benefits to us?
The White Revolution 2.0 is more in terms of the whole industry trying to get better and talking about a larger play that India will be in the global scale. So that is what our Honorable Home Minister has announced, saying that we will try to get organized cooperative to be larger, productivity to increase. So all these are the right signs for the overall business to grow from India as a country. Sir. Like, no, they wanted to do foot and mouth free, which will give us a larger global label in the future as we go forward.
So no direct or indirect benefits to us?
No, sir. No benefits, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praful Siddharth from Shravas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. I just wanted to know what's the sales realization during the quarter, the consolidated sales realization.
Yeah, the consol number realized
66.86 is the consol for this quarter. Standalone 68.16.
And that's the milk? This is the liquid milk? What's the sales realization?
No, it is not the milk. It's a combined number. Only milk price, you want standalone, is basically 55.60. Only milk. 55.1.
Got it. So sales realization is 67 on console level and procurement is 35 rupees, right?
Yes.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate your interest in Dodla Dairy. If you have any further queries, you can please contact SGA, our investor relation advisor, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible with all your queries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dodla Dairy Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.